Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and welcome to the weekly teleclass. Today is October 5th, 2010, and we're in Libra territory. And this is a class where for the first part of the class, I discuss a topic to deepen our consciousness, and then I go into the science of the cards, and time permitting, give mini readings for people on the line who like them. But as usual, I'll start off with a prayer. So if you're somewhere where it's safe to do so, please close your eyes. Just become aware of your breathing. Just become aware that your breathing is being done for you. And just sort of sink into that which is actually supporting us at all moments, even though we may not be aware of it. And just take in these words. We open in total trust that everything the universe brings us is a gift of love and support. We feel deep appreciation for these gifts and unconditionally accept them all. We see the activities of our day as an experience and expression of our expanded soul awareness and rejoice in all of them exactly as they are. We feel the abundance bestowed upon us by the universe and joyfully accept all the richness inherent in them, and we are committed to an ever-expanding awareness of who we really are. And so it is. So today's topic will be sharing my own personal experience of just creating a very powerful near mass. And I believe you know, we have many negative identity mass. We have many negative identities, as I was as I've been speaking about, sort of latent in our subconscious. But as we begin to discreate them, and some of these masses, there are definitely more than one identity within a mass. So you could have, you know, anywhere from one to I think I've, in my own personal experience, seen, you know, five or six in a mass. And so as we're discreating them, we're really creating, discreating portions or parts of the mass, because these masses have been built up over years, and I suspect maybe even sometimes lifetimes. So to discreate one mass at a time would be, I think, too much. The weight of it, the emotional power of it is too much. So it's like our expanded self or our higher self or our deeper self, whichever name you want to call it, really does it in parts and steps and pieces and layers so that we can actually be able to physically integrate the energy. Because if we were to do one whole big mass, especially the masses that have really been limiting us, they're really huge, and like I said, because of resistance, they've been built up over time, and it's as if resistance creates this energy, this emotional charge that gets layered on top of it, another emotional charge, until you just have like you can imagine like a ball of yarn, you know, just where it's just wrapped on top of one another, and you have to unravel it to get to the center. So you could think of these masses as like yarns, and a lot of the yarn on the outside is the resistance. You kind of have to like unravel, just create the resistance to get to what the identities are. And once you get to the identities, it's really relatively easy to just create the identities because the energy is much more subtle. Okay, so I'm just going to do a brief summary of negative identity mass. And a negative identity mass consists of a negative identity, either one or more negative identities. And a negative identity is a definition about self that opposes our true essence, that diminishes our true essence. I am not good enough. I'm not valuable. I'm stupid. These all go counter to our original God essence. So one or more negative identities, plus the opinion that that is bad. It's bad to be stupid. It's bad to be bad. And that, and this opinion of bad creates resistance, which creates emotional charge, which creates more negative energy, and then we begin to keep, and then we want to keep resisting the negative energy, and then we generate more resistance, more negative energy. So you end up with a whole mass of energy with these negative identities, and on top of this negative identity, you have a whole bunch of emotional charge from us resisting it, resisting being this way. Okay, so that's a negative identity mass. Okay, and since a lot of this is done unconsciously, and a lot of these masses really started really, really early in life, and since we come in here really deliberately counter-creating ourselves, making ourselves the opposite of who we are, you know, we're lacking in, you know, think of yourself as a baby. You come in, you don't know anything, you don't have any knowledge, you know, it's as if you're in a land not knowing how this land really operates. And so we're basically creating unconsciously, but nevertheless we are creating because we never lose our creative power. We may lose the knowledge of how to use that power. And so what happens is we create sort of in the dark, okay? So then we're creating all these masses, and we're largely unconscious of them. And until we live life, and at some point we begin to gain, when we're ready, we begin to gain knowledge again, and through some life experiences, some wisdom about how life works, you know, how to use our creative power, and then we can go about consciously beginning to create our lives. But part of this creating our lives anew is we have to discreate what we've already created, because you cannot create something new on top of something you've already created. Well, you can create something new, but you can't create by resisting what you already have. So if you already have a creation and it's not serving you, then you can go about discreating that. Okay. And so since we're largely unconscious, what happens is life events begin to mirror to us what is really where our consciousness, what's really happening within our consciousness, and that's how we begin to understand what negative identity masses we've been operating from. And so it's, you know, some life trigger event will happen. It could be anything from, you know, the death of a pet, the death of a parent. It could be you know, some kind of relationship that's not working out. It could be the person didn't call me when he said he was going to call me. It could be I failed a test. It could be I got fired. It could be I was successful and I'm still not happy. But life will bring us trigger situations that will push our buttons, that will begin to, when we begin to be conscious of them, that will let us know and see what has actually been buried in our subconscious, because these events bring these ways that we feel about ourselves to our conscious awareness, okay? And that's the beginning of being able to discreate these negative identities, is that a trigger event will happen, and just to clarify, and the Course in Miracles says this too, we're never upset for the reasons we think, okay? We're never really upset for the event. We're really upset because of how we feel in relationship to the event, and that is key, because that's how we then begin to identify or find these negative identities that have been operating within our consciousness, okay? So someone doesn't do what they said they were going to do, and then I get upset. And within that emotion, maybe it makes me angry. And if I begin to ask myself, okay, wow, I'm angry. Well, how do I feel about me that this person did not follow through? Well, I feel like he doesn't respect me or she doesn't respect me. I feel like I'm not important. That's an identity. I'm not an important. So you can begin to see how you can begin to use these trigger events to begin to find these negative identities, okay? And so then once we find them, then we can begin the process of discreating them, dissolving them, transforming them, whichever word you want to use. And the first step to discreation, what is the must, the absolute must, is that we must acknowledge that we are the creator of our experience, that I am the one that has created this experience. If I assign it to some source outside of myself, then I have no power in which to shift it, to discreate it, to transform it. So unless I really can acknowledge and really feel that I have created this, then there's just no point in continuing. And some of the things you can ask yourself about this is, okay, so here's this experience. Who decided that I was this way? If I'm thinking I'm not important, how did this happen? Who decided this? How did I come up with I'm not important? And you can begin to, if you really ask the question and then begin to be quiet and just feel, you can begin to really see how it's we're making meanings out of things and we're making determinations, and it's really our own self that is deciding how we're being. So first is creative responsibility. Then once we own that we are the creator of this identity and of our experiences from the identity, then what we want to do is sort of turn off our mind at that point. We use the mind to do the process I just discussed. And then once we get that, we want to turn off our mind, because this creating is a matter of experience. It's feeling. Because an identity is a being is the first step in the causal sequence of being, and feeling stems directly from who we're being. I'm not important. Where a feeling comes from, this belief that I'm not important. So we have to feel. So we surrender to this experience of that we have created. I've created. I'm not important. We surrender to that. Okay. All these years we fight it, we fight what we really feel, and now we're going to do the opposite, and we're going to allow ourselves to feel it, and that's how we just create. Life is about change, and life will naturally move on its own whenever we're not resisting anything. So if we allow ourselves to fully experience something in consciousness, any thought, any feeling, any emotion, positive or negative, it will eventually move. Positives will move, negatives will move, anything that we're not resisting will move, because life is about change. Change is the only constant. It will automatically change when we're not resisting, okay? Resistance causes things to persist, but when we're not and we allow ourselves to feel it, it will automatically move, okay? So let's talk about resistance. So since resistance is what actually keeps an experience in place, it's important to understand how resistance works, and it's important to understand how to discreate resistance, or that we must discreate the resistance that's built on top of these identities first, okay, in order to get to the resistance. And it's the resistance that's actually the hardest part to discreate. And when we feel very, very, very strong emotions about things, you can be sure that it's resistance, and that there's a creation of bad, or an opinion about bad, or opinion about something is bad, that is creating this sort of burning resistance and these fireworks of emotions, okay? So that's how you really know, you can really know whether you're in resistance, is when you have these strong emotional charges, okay? Any strong emotional charge, you know that there is an opinion about bad, and then so time has to be spent actually discreating all of this resistance, okay? Once you discreate the resistance, you'll be in a place of space. Sort of like you'll feel a peace, because all that emotional charge will be gone or dissipated, and it's important to then keep going, because you just discreated the resistance. But underneath that is a negative identity, and the identities themselves are much more pure. They're much more pure energy. They're a quieter energy. They're a more subtle energy, and sometimes you can miss it. In comparison to the big emotional charges of the resistance, you could think, oh, I've just created this mass, but no, you want to check and make sure that, you know, that to see if there is an identity underneath that. So that's a common error that people make. So you want to discreate the resistance first, and then you want to look for, in your experience, not in your mind, in your experience, you want to look for the negative identity that's there. And like I said, it's a much more subtle energy than the big fireworks of emotion. Okay, so that's the process of discreating. And also, too, clarify a couple more things with this process. When you can go from, in the process of discreating, and you can go from discreating the resistance, and you'll feel a lessening of the emotional charge, and then you can find the identity or feel the identity, and then you can feel that. And it's as if you can feel, with all of this creating, you can feel energy. It's just like a mass of energy, and you can begin to feel energy moving in your body, off of your body. You have to explore and experiment with this, and you can feel energy moving. And so you'll get to some of the near. And then you might get to even more resistance underneath that, in that. And so sometimes it's not like a linear process. Oh, I just create the resistance and then I just create the near. It can be a combination of both, and you're going back and forth to both. And so you just create some resistance, and then you feel the identity and you feel that moving. And then you may hit some more resistance, and so then you spend time just creating that resistance, and then you'll be able to feel more of the identity, and you just create the identity. But the thing is, to really begin to you'll have enough technology, enough knowledge to be able to begin the process, and then it becomes about you owning your process and you experimenting and you exploring and you sort of seeing how you actually move energy within your own being, because everybody is unique and everybody has their own way to do it, and there is no one way, and you may discover ways to streamline this process on your own. But the point is, you have to begin to on your somewhere, and you begin, and you trust yourself. You trust that the bigger part of you, the expanded part of you, is really in charge of this, and is really in charge of the amount that you're going to just create at any one time, and is in charge of what it is that you're gonna just create at any one time. But it's like beginning to deepen a relationship with the bigger part of you, the part of you that actually, you know, the expand itself, the part that actually didn't incarnate. But that's also the part of you that created all of these identities and these near masses, so that this part of ourselves can have this human experience. Again, the human experience is, at least the first part of it, is basically counter-creating our essence. It's basically creating ourselves to be the opposite of who we are. Okay, that's the first part. We come in basically as a baby, you know, with no knowledge, no information of how life works. We're totally dependent on caretakers, you know, for many years before we actually can even be on our own. So we're creating ourselves to be weak and not knowledgeable, so not wise, and so this is part of it. And there was a big, the bigger part of us had to be the one to do that. If we're these infinite beings, and we're completely powerful, then how do you actually limit an infinite being? It takes a brilliant being with a lot of power to create a way to limit ourselves and to create ourselves to be the opposite of it. So that a lot of power has gone into allowing us to have this human experience, okay? And so as this process, and to do this process, we want to be able to understand that. That's the creative part of us, and this is the part of us that's actually going to take us through this journey of just creating these negative identities and learning how to actually energize the positive identity. So we need to really be in touch with the creative part of us, the part of us that is powerful, and to do the just creating in context too, that there is a bigger part of us. And again, one of the some of the rules of this creating is that if I'm the creator, then no creation can be more powerful than that which created it. No creation can be more powerful than me, the creator. And so all of this creation should be done in context to that. So if no creation is more powerful than I am, then I can explore these creations, these negative identity creations, without being harmed in any way. It's just a creation that I created with my creative power, but it's not the ultimate truth of who I am. It's not the truth of who I am, because the truth of who I am, with a capital T, T-R-U-T-H, truth with a capital T, is that I'm an infinite, powerful being, and what I can create, I can discreate. So we must always remember that that is the law, okay? And if we can begin to look at these identities as just creations, and yes, we experience the reality of these creations because we put our power into them, and whatever we create, we get to experience. But they're temporary creations. They're temporary realities. They won't last forever because they are not eternal. and they can be just created. But the truth of our being is that we are these timeless, eternal, infinite, powerful creators made in love and light and utter goodness that can never be discreated. The truth, the eternal, ultimate truth can never be discreated, okay? But these creative realities of I am this or that, any identity reality is a temporary reality and can be discreated. It was created by our expanded self, and it can be discreated by our expanded self. So we must remember that and must do all of this in context to that, okay? And when we know that we are always really safe as we explore these creations, then we can do this in that context and not take it to be such a serious matter in terms of that it's life or death, because it's not. Okay. All right, so as promised, I said I would share my own personal experience of discreating a negative identity mask, and I believe that we have, there's certain masks or identities that I think each of us sort of have as main ones. You know, there may be ones, on the outskirts that may not even be that hard to discreate, but I believe, at least from my own experience, what I've seen is I believe we have, each of us has, like a personal cocktail of identity masses that have been the ones that have really done the heavy lifting of limiting ourselves, okay? And so I'm going to share my experience of one that has been a very powerful a negative identity mask that I have worked on for several years, and that has really been a major way in which I have really blocked out the truth of who I am. And as I've worked through this, I have gotten to a point of being able to really experience and feel my eternal self. And just to say that, this is all a process, okay? And this becomes actually a way of life. It's not so much that, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to knock this out, and it's going to, take me months or years. No, I believe that this is actually a process. But as I have been doing this for, let's say, 3.5 years now, in one form or another, I've been discreating identities. I can say in that time that I'm much more in touch with who I truly am, and I am experiencing more of the light of my being, and I am experiencing, deep joy at times. And the more I do this, the more I'm able to actually feel it for longer periods of time and to sustain it for longer periods of time. But I am nowhere near, done, and I believe that I'll be doing this for the rest of my life, but it's completely worth it, because just in the 3.5 years that I've been doing this, it's just been a very powerful journey, a very powerful ride, and very beautiful in many, many ways. And I just know that as I continue on this journey, I'm just going to continue to expand back into who I really am. And life is just becoming, easier, more loving, softer, beautiful, okay? So it's completely worth it to me. And if this is what, and for this to become a way of life for me, I'm completely willing, because of the experiences I'm having of myself at deep, deep levels that I've always wanted to have and never could. But this is allowing me to be able to really feel the truth of who I am. Okay, so I'm going to go into some detail about this particular mask. I really noticed this identity, I have to say, several years ago, about 2.5 years ago. And what happens is, like I said, we're largely unconscious about these identity masks until life really triggers. Well, life triggers us all the time, and until we get to a point where we can begin to understand, what is actually happening, we just get triggered, and we respond in the best way we can, okay? But I had done enough work to, and gained enough wisdom and had acquired enough knowledge that I began to really know how to work with myself when I'm triggered. So instead of running from the trigger or trying to push away the triggers or try to push away the emotions that get triggered, I had at this point learned how to stop when I'm triggered and when I'm feeling something, some deep negative emotion. I had learned to stop, and instead of automatically resisting the emotion, which is what we usually do. In my case, I was in a relationship at the time, and I remember having this thought. I remember feeling this general anxiety. It was just a general anxiety, like, oh, this anxiety. So I stopped myself. I was like, okay, God, I feel anxiety. Okay, and I began to ask myself, well, why do I feel this anxiety? And I was quiet to listen from within my experience. And this voice said, he's going to hate me. And I thought, and then I asked, he's going to hate you. Why is he going to hate you? Because I'm bad. And I just remember being, like, so shocked to hear, I'm bad. It's like, wow, I believe I'm bad. I had no idea I believed that about myself at the time. It was really amazing. It was fascinating, okay? And so that was the beginning of, like, oh, I believe some part of me is bad, okay? And then over the course of several years, I have had other trigger events that have happened or other events that have happened where I have been able to take the same process of instead of running from a feeling, going deep within and asking what is there and trying to find out the identity that's there. And over several years, I have come across through several trigger events. I don't even remember what the events were, but what I got to was incidents. So this was more of a recent incident. And then I started going from more recent to earlier incidents. Because then I got to an earlier incident when I was 10 with my father. And my father ended – I asked my father for something, and it seemed that when I asked him for something, he got really upset. And from an adult now, I can see he wasn't upset with me, but I was 10 years old. And what I took that as was, I am bad. And not only am I bad, but I hurt people. I hurt my father, okay? And so there it was again, that bad again. And then I had another trigger event and came to an incident when I was 8 with my mother, and where I came and I was upset about something and I was crying and I went to tell my mother about it, and my mother ended up crying. And I was like, and I got to, oh, I'm bad, and I hurt people again. I made my mother cry. So this I'm bad theme has been, you know, again, I mean, okay, now we're at 8, and I'm bad again. And it's like, wow, this is really, really interesting. And each time I would do a little work on the identity of I'm bad, okay? And then finally, as I kept doing more work on this, I got to actually the earliest event that I can recall. Now, it could have been from a past life. I don't really know. It could be from other lines, but the earliest event that I was able to trace this back to was being a baby, being in the crib, and being in the room, in the crib, and feeling like the energy of the house. You know, my mom and my dad and my older sister were all, my older sister is like a year and a half older, but just feeling people in the house and feeling people walking by the room. I'm in the crib and they're walking by, and I'm wondering, how come they're not coming to pay attention to me? Where's everybody? Why am I alone? Why are they ignoring me? They're not paying attention to me. And I remember this experience in myself. Now, remember, we're a baby. We've lost our knowledge. We've deliberately cut this knowledge away from ourselves. So I don't know anything. I'm just kind of here. And this is all nonverbal, but the feeling, the experience was, they're not here, and they're just in my mind that they're out there enjoying themselves, and I'm here, in here alone, and the feeling and the experience in my mind went something like this. The meaning on an emotional, nonverbal level was, oh, my God, there must be something really wrong with me. There must be something really wrong with me that they're not coming to me, that I'm not a part of this. Oh, my God, there must be something really wrong. I'm bad. I must have been created bad. And I must not have any love in me because they're not loving me. And I'm bad. I'm loveless. Ah, I have no love, and maybe I don't deserve to be loved. I'm a loveless monster. I'm a bad, loveless monster. That's what I came to. And it was like, oh, my goodness. So I have been sort of in, and it's horrible. It's so horrible. So the identity is I'm a bad, loveless monster. That's the negative identity because it's the opposite of who I really am. That's not really the truth, but that was the in this state of not of ignorance and not knowing anything, I made meaning of something, and I'm sure that they probably thought I was fast asleep as a baby. I'm sure they had no idea this was going on. But in my mind, again, I am the creator of this experience. I could feel myself creating myself to be this way, okay? I'm creating this. I'm the one that's saying I'm a bad, loveless monster. I'm making meaning of this. And that's negative identity. And, oh, my God, I felt this anxiety. Oh no, I'm bad. It's bad to be bad because if I'm bad, no one will love me. That's the creation of the bad, the opinion of bad. And, oh, no, I can't be bad. Oh, no, it's horrible. It's awful. And then this emotion gets generated. And on it goes. And until now, it's bad to be bad. I'm a bad, loveless monster, and it's bad to be bad because no one will love me. No one will love me. And then what I saw that I did, as a, you know, even as a child, the way I coped with this anxiety was I would be good. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be so good. And if I'm so good, the people won't know that I'm bad. And then at least I'll be good. I will, you know, just do things for people. I will, you know, be valuable to people so that they'll want me around. I will be kind, I will do things, so hopefully then they'll, you know, then they won't reject me. Hopefully they won't see that I'm really bad inside, and then hopefully then they'll love me or I'll have attention because at least I will be helpful and I will be kind and I will be nice. So I played the good girl. I played the indispensable girl, the one who was there for people. All the while, deep down inside, though, I'm believing I'm this bad, loveless monster. And because it's bad to be a bad, loveless monster, I have to hide this from people. And my way of hiding it was to be nice, okay? But that doesn't work because then I never really get to really share who I really am and to be loved for myself. So you can see this vicious cycle. So this was my negative identity mask that I created. And you can imagine the anxiety around, you know, trying to continue to be good so that no one will find out that I am bad, okay? So the way I've been just creating this and working with this is just the process that I described before, which is so something will happen, and I'll have some anxiety, and then I'll get to I'm bad, and it's bad to be bad. And what I do is I had a lot of resistance to this identity that I created, so I have had to spend a lot of time in just creating the resistance. And the way I do that is I really feel the anxiety of it's really bad. It's horrible to be this person. It's horrible to be this way. It's really horrible to be a bad person. It's so horrible to be a bad person. That's the resistance. And so instead of my usual, and when we resist, we try to change it, right? Or we try not to be that way, or we try to suppress it. And the way that I tried to not be that way was to be good. So first thing I had to do was stop being, quote, good. stop trying to convince other people, you know, that I'm good, and to just feel the, you know, the creation of this bad. It's bad to be bad. It's awful. And so I would just sit, letting go of my mind, I would sit in this idea, this opinion that I'm bad, and feel what that feels like. Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible to feel this way. In the context of that I created this, and since I created it, I can discreate it. It's not true. There is no good or bad, only in my mind. But I've created this in my mind. And even though, as I said before, we have when we come in, we sort of we block ourselves from our wisdom. We still there's no way that we cannot be powerful. So we're powerful. We're just creating unconsciously. Okay. So we are always have the power of creation. And again, the power the rule of creation is whatever we energize, we get more of. So the more I energized, you know, I am it's bad to be this, then the more I actually got to experience how bad it is to be this way, okay? But instead of trying to push it away, I had to stop this behavior of being the good person, the quote good person, and the quote good person in this actual negative way, okay? Because I'm using negative energy to be this quote good person. The negative energy is from trying to change or not be a certain way. And ultimately, it always is going to create more pain, okay, which is what, you know, which is what I did for myself. So I had to stop my way that I had resisted and just let myself feel this creation of bad. And I just sit in it. And you can begin to feel when you sit in it, when you stop resisting the resistance and let oneself feel it. When I stopped resisting, and I just admitted, okay, I think I'm bad. I mean, when I started allowing myself to feel how awful I felt about being bad, I let myself feel it. And what I came to as I just would experience this, like I feel energy moving, and I would actually go to deeper levels of the resistance. I would actually go to deeper levels of the anti-love, and I got to this place of hating myself for being bad. I'm bad, and I hate you. I hate you for being bad because you're bad, now I won't get any love, and I hate you. It's awful being you. It's awful being you. And I had to, and I just allowed all of this to come up in my experience, and it was really so interesting to feel and to experience all this that was latent within my experience, but when that I had been pushing away for years, but now that I finally just said, okay, I'm going to be with it, I'm going to sit with this creation, and I just started feeling all these levels of anti-love, all these levels of disliking myself, all this level of hate for being this way that I created myself. And the more I, and this would happen over, you know, different periods of time, and as I, the more I did it, the more I was able to allow myself to feel really deep, deep levels of hatred for myself until I finally got to a place of feeling such anti-love for self, and I let myself really be in it, and I can't even say how long it took, but at some point, and in each of these times, I would come to a place of space, like I'd just create a certain portion of it, or I just created what was up. Because only certain portions of it will come up in consciousness or in our experience. Like I said, it doesn't all come up at once, so we probably wouldn't even be able to tolerate it. So I would just do whatever was up. And I finally got to a point where I really could let myself feel, I believe, the deepest level of anti-love about this identity. And I'm not sure how long it took, like I said, but at some point I came to this place of complete tranquility and space, as I have never felt before. It was just like a switch, it just switched. It was as if getting to the deepest level of the resistance then allowed it to really just move. And I was in this beautiful, tranquil place of peace and calm. I've never felt so peaceful and so calm before, and it was just amazing, okay? So as I've said before, the resistance, the anti-love, the opinion that we are bad, the opinion that how we create ourselves is bad, is really it's the most challenging part of it, because it is the place where we feel the strongest emotion, and usually it's a strong emotion of not liking ourselves, not loving ourselves, hating ourselves, not valuing ourselves, and that's hard for any human being to experience and to feel, okay? And so, but once we do, then we can actually, it really discreates a lot of the emotional charge, it discreates the emotional charge, and then you can actually, then I was able to, so I was in this space, and then I was aware that, okay, this was space from just creating the resistance, but I knew that there was still an identity there, and so I was able to then really get to and experience the identity purely without all of this resistance or anti-love on top of it, and in the experience of feeling the identity, as I've said, it was a much purer experience, a much more pure, subtle emotion or feeling. It was a feeling, and it really, it's so much easier a feeling on the body than the resistance. And then I just got to really feel how I created myself to be a bad, loveless monster. The creation is not the truth of who I am, but I began to really feel this creation and to really feel how I created it within my own being, and that it was a creation, and it's not bigger than me, but it was a creation, and I was just letting myself own that I created it, and I was allowing myself to experience the creation in the context of the bigger me, and actually since then, since I've just created a lot of the resistance, I'm able to actually experience, I still have some of this left, but I feel like there are remnants of the mass. I feel like most of the mass has been discreted, and occasionally I have a remnant of it, but I'll be able to go directly to the identity because I don't really feel a lot of resistance anymore around this, and I can go straight to it, and I could spend 5 or 10 minutes just experiencing it, and I can feel the energy move, and it's as if the energy is being remodulated back into the field or back into the potential, and I may say something like, I am the, and I'll allow myself to just feel it fully, and I'll feel the energy of it, and feel myself go to the outer edges of that energy, and then I will expand out beyond the edge of that energy and into my deeper self, and I will remind myself that I am the creator of this experience, and what I create, I can discreate, and I withdraw all energy from this, negative or positive, and I allow it to discreate. And as I expand out, I just expand out into, and I see from a wider perspective, from my larger expand itself, I can see the creation within me, and then I can feel it discreate, and I can feel the energy of it just dissolving, as if it's just dissolving, and it's going back into the one, and into the potential, into the field of all potentiality. And that energy will be used to create something else. Or there's an advanced way to use the energy that's being discreated from these negative identities to actually energize positive identities. Because on top of that, you know, when you begin to work with these energies, I think the first several years is really learning not to be afraid of our creations, not to be afraid of these negative creations, because as I said, you know, with the resistance, there can be a lot of firework of emotion. And I think when we're not used to handling or managing these energies, it can feel as if they can overtake us. And that's why we have to realize there's a bigger part of us that's at play here, and nothing can be bigger than that part of us. So it is important to have that as a context and to be able to tap into that bigger part of us that's actually creating all of this. And so, but it takes a while in our whole, in our bodies and in our energy systems to be able to come to this experience, because it's an intellectual understanding at first, but we have to actually begin to have an experience of our bigger self and our deeper self before we really can get to the point where we can be at home, we can be just as at home with the negative energies as the positive energies. And that's the place we want to get to. And when we get to that place, we can actually begin to just create, you know, much more rapidly, because, you know, it's really when we're afraid of these things, we believe they're real, and we resist them. And it's the resistance that's really the most challenging part. It's the resistance that keeps the things in place. So as we work with our resistance, as we really begin to have a deeper experience of our true self, and we begin to really trust that we're in good hands and nothing bad will happen to us as we explore these creations that we've had buried within our subconscious, as we allow them to come up and we just explore them in the context of they're not bigger than who we are, and then we're able to really feel just as comfortable working with the negative energies as we do the positive energies, then we can really begin to come into more advanced processes of how to actually convert the negative energy, the energy that gets discharged from the negative identities, and use that same energy that we're discharging, that's dissolving from the negative identity, to then energize positive identities. An example of this would be, so in this example, is I'm bad. So it's just, you know, saying whatever the identity is and then experiencing it and feeling that energy. And all of this is done in consciousness, okay? All of this is done in consciousness. You're not talking to anybody. You're not hurting anybody. It's all within your consciousness, okay? So I would experience I'm bad, and I would feel the energy just moving because I'm not resisting it. I'm just feeling it. And it becomes like a flavor of energy. Like I said, it just becomes like a flavor of energy, okay, along the energy spectrum. Not good or bad, you just feel it as a flavor, and you can feel that energy dissolving as I'm allowing myself to sit in this creation that I created of I'm this bad, loveless monster. Oh, what's that like? Wow, okay, interesting. And I'm just allowing myself to feel it, and as that energy is moving, I'm feeling the energy, and then what I can do is then bring in a positive. Oh, tell the truth about it. I am a timeless, eternal, infinite, beautiful being made in love and utter goodness. I am a deeply good being. And you can begin to use that energy that's discharged from the negative to actually energize this positive identity. And the positive identity, this identity, it's the truth. It's the truth of who I am. I am a deeply good being. We are all made in love and light, and we are in utter goodness, okay? And so I can energize that. And you can go back and forth between the two, because what will often happen is, as I said last week or as I said before, that when you try to energize a positive identity, it will often trigger the negative identity that might be associated with it. And that's how you know if you still have some kind of negative identity around that. And so I would go back and forth. So I would, you know, you can use it to energize the positive, and you can use the positive, you can state positive to actually try to bring up more of the negative identity into conscious awareness to keep working with that. So it becomes this process of moving back and forth between the negative identity, just creating that and using that energy to create the positive, and then some more negative may get triggered or brought up into conscious awareness, and then we go from the positive then to then just discreating and sitting in the negative identity and allowing more of that to discreate, and then more energy gets sort of released from that, and then you can just let that energy go into the field, or you can use that energy to energize something positive. So it becomes this way of learning how to actually work with your energies, negative and positive. And you begin to see even the positive identity, it's just energy, okay? It's just energy that we're using our creative power to work with, to mold, to create realities. So first we came and we created these realities, these negative identity realities. We created ourselves to be not smart, to be weak. We have to have somebody take care of us. We create ourselves to be not valuable, not good enough. to be not lovable. We've created, these are all creations, negative identities, that, realities that we have created. And just as we've created these, then we can begin to create ourselves to be, well, it's interesting because when you begin to discreate the negative identities, you actually begin to just expand back into who you are naturally, but also to, you know, you can energize positive identities just as a reminder of who we really are. And there are also positive identities that we want to create that really have nothing to do with, you know, our timeless eternal being, like, I'm creating myself to be a success. Okay. Well, I mean, we're in terms of being a timeless eternal being. Well, what is success? I mean, it's not even, it's not, it's neither here nor there. There's no such thing because there's no polarity. We just are who we are. We're just this being that's at one with, you know, source. Okay. But in this human experience, we want to play in this human field, this human playground, and we can create ourselves to be however we want to create ourselves to be. And if I want to create myself to be a positive success, I can do that as well. But it's still just a creation. It's still a temporary creation because when this is all done and we return to the one, you know, we're just in this experience of divine love and light. So when we begin to work with these and work with this process, and we begin to, you know, gain knowledge and acquire wisdom and ways of actually working with this energy, we actually begin to feel, you know, more in alignment with the deeper power of who we are, and we begin to then have fun consciously creating, okay? So you could say we came here and limited ourselves, and we're still creating because we always have our creative power. We've just been creating in the dark, so to speak, and now we're learning how to create in the light, to be responsible for our creative power, to create in with knowledge and wisdom, and it's no accident that we have the thing that, you know, when we kind of create ourselves, we create ourselves to not have any kind of knowledge about life, any kind of wisdom, because there's a causal sequence of wisdom, power, and valuing ourselves, and then we love or anti-love ourselves based on those three. And wisdom is the first one in the sequence. If you don't have any knowledge or wisdom, then you don't really know how to guide your power, okay? And if you don't have wisdom and knowledge, then you really, you have power, but the power is being used in an unconscious way. And then that just is going to create all kinds of things that, you know, may not be that pleasant. And so we don't value ourselves. So it's no accident that, you know, we come in here with no knowledge. Okay, and that's, we do have the power. We always have power. But without the wisdom, without the knowledge, then there's no way to really be able to direct the power in a conscious way, which is why we end up with these negative identities, these negative creations. But it's done, we have to understand, we did it deliberately. We've done this deliberately to come into the human experience, at least for the first part. And then, you know, we get the opportunity as we gain knowledge and wisdom to learn to create more consciously. Okay, I think I kind of went all over the place, but anyway, that's my talk for today, and I hope that was helpful, me sharing some of my experience. And I actually believe that most of us as human beings have an identity of that there is something wrong with me. My little creative identity, I'm a bad, loveless monster. How creative is that? That is so creative. I'm a bad, loveless monster. And therefore, oh, and there was another piece to it of, since I'm bad and I'm loveless, then I don't deserve to have any love, and I must really stay in the corner. And I'm so bad. I mean, and I really had a really, I'm bad. I'm so bad. They broke the mold that I was created bad. I'm defective, and it's lucky that I'm not, you know, dead. That they didn't just throw me away. But because I'm so bad, I have to be in the corner over here. And because I'm so bad, I can hurt people. And it's so interesting. I think I have the power to hurt people, but I don't think I have any power to, you know, not be bad. So it's just, I just think we're just so creative in how we create ourselves to be. So that was part of the early experiences that I experienced with my parents. I'm bad and I hurt people because I felt I was so bad that just by my being, by my presence, that it was bad enough to really hurt people. But anyway, I believe that almost everybody on the planet has some version of there's something really wrong with me, okay? And so, you know, then whatever they are, you know, identities they create from there, but I'm just convinced of it. So, you know, it's just part of this human journey, and there it is. And what I am learning to do is to be conscious of them and to just create them. And I have to say that I have gotten to the point with this where I can really feel the goodness of who I am, that I'm a deeply, deeply good being, that I'm a deeply, deeply good person, that I'm a beautiful person, and that I'm a benefit to those who I meet. And so this has been sort of the process of transformation for me, from going from just really deeply believing, you know, I'm this bad, loveless monster, to, oh, yeah, oh, wow, what a brilliant creation that was, okay, to, oh, yeah. So it's not just that I know the truth of who I am and my atomic eternal self, but I'm really beginning to identify and feel and experience myself as a beautiful, deeply, deeply good person, okay, who actually is very loving and who actually is a benefit in a natural way to in the way that I touch people that I meet. Okay, so I spent the whole class pretty much going over that, but I thought it was important, and I'm just going to go briefly over today. Today is, like I said, October 5th, and it's a Libra. We're in Libra territory, and someone born today would be a Four of Diamonds birth card and an Eight of Hearts ruling card. A Four of Diamonds, four is a very solid, stable. Diamonds is what we value. So this would be someone who's an organizer of business and finances, and they make a great money manager. But they have two fives as karma cards. There are two karma cards, or both fives, the Five of Spades and the Five of Hearts. And five is change, and they like to travel. They don't like to be hemmed in. So there's an so it's like an interesting to be a Four of Diamonds, because here you are, you know, you have this, you're very security oriented, you possess solid values, but within you there's this inner restlessness, this urge to just for change and to travel and to move. And it's like you dream of a life that's easier, but actually a Four of Diamonds, like their karma is such that they need to work steadily, okay? And the more they work, the better their life will be. And it's not till later in life that they'll be able to really take advantage of being able to have wanderlust that the 2-5 sort of represent, okay? But if they try to get out of work in some kind of way, usually they get off track. So their sort of path is to, you know, really just be solid and stable, at least for the first part of their life, even though they have this inner restlessness, okay? And then they also have a Queen of Hearts and Saturn, which makes them feel, it's like they have an ideal idea about love. Like they dream about this great love, because Queen of Hearts is, you know, it's the marriage card, it's the mother, it's sexuality, it's sensuality, and they dream about it. But it's like they have this idealistic idea about love, and that it should just be wonderful. And so they'll meet people, and the people won't be perfect, of course, and then they'll be disappointed, and so then they'll just, like, think that love is just terrible, and so they end up in, because of this idealism, they'll end up in these very, they'll end up struggling in relationships. And so really they have to be willing to approach love with the willingness to work on it. Like, it's not just going to happen. It's not, they have to be willing to look at themselves too, that it takes two people in the relationship, and they have to be able to be grounded about it and to be willing to work on the relationship itself, okay? So that's something about the Four of Diamonds. And Eight of Hearts, man, I mean, this is someone who's a charmer. They have a lot of charm and magnetism, and eight is a power card. It's power in love and social power, social charm and power. And they have a really good, easy life path, too. And you can say sometimes the Eight of Hearts is like the Playboy card. I mean, they may not realize it or not, but it's like the Playboy card. And so they always have, like, a circle of friends and associates and families that are important to them, because, of course, it's a heart. It's about love. And they really are charmers. And they can basically, this would make a Four of Diamonds person actually just a very charming person, okay? But like all eights, they have to actually be responsible about their power. AIDS can get into power struggles with people. AIDS come here to, I mean, the thing with AIDS is that their challenge is to learn how to use their power in a very wise way, to not abuse it, you know, to not use it to get what they want at the expense of other people, but to be really responsible with how they use their power. Okay, that's always, any eight will have that as a lifetime challenge and an issue. But once they actually learn how to use their power for good, there's nothing that they can't do. Okay, so that's something about someone who was born today. And I thank you all for listening, and I hope that this my sharing my personal experience will help you in some way. So I'm just going to say good day and have a wonderful day, everyone, and I will be here next week, same time.